It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly every Monday night. Brandon Graham Show at 6. And then tonight, the Players Lounge at 7 with this week's guest, Landon Dickerson. Donovan McNabb joins us every Monday at 4. It's brought to you by United Tire. Now's the time to make the right choice about who services your car. United Auto Service. Go to UnitedTire.com. That's UnitedTire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Donovan, how are we feeling?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Oh, you know, pissed off about a win. Normal Monday.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Never happy. You know how we are. Yep, never happy.
So, Donovan, let me ask you this. So there's been a lot of talk today, both locally and nationally, about Nick Sirianni going over and jawing with fans, who I assume were booing him. You certainly had moments in Philadelphia of, back and forth with fans, at least their frustration and your frustration back. How do you, as a player in a city like this, a player or a coach, deal with that sort of response from a fan base and keep yourself focused on the task at hand?
I don't pay attention to it. I mean, I hear it. I mean, you can't help but hear it sometimes when it's on talk radio or maybe a media member brings it up or you hear them during the game. I don't play into it. And that was part of the reason why a lot of people were sideways with me, because all I did was laugh. I just smiled and go to work. You know, my job is to focus in on my job and be prepared for the other 52 players that are on the team and the 10 guys that are on the field with me. I could care less of how you feel about me from a football standpoint, a personal standpoint, or whatever, because their feelings don't control what I do. And so for Nick Sirianni, I mean, I get it. You know, he's pissed off, and they want to be heard, and he heard it. So he responded. But the thing about it for him is, you know, you always got to keep a little bit of professionalism with it. That's not the way to go. I wouldn't condone that. But the funny thing to me is the response of it all. If you go at a man and you try to degrade him and talk, belittle him, and he responds, then you got a problem with it. Then you got to understand what the consequences might be. So I just think he could have handled it in a professional manner, being the head coach of a football team and the face of an organization. And that's the way that I handled it while I played.
So let's say you're a player in that locker room, and then you see Sirianni do that at the end of the game. Your response to seeing, because certainly here you wouldn't have had a coach that would have done that. What would your response as a player be to seeing the coach do that?
I wouldn't have a response. I mean, again, everybody handles situations differently. And you know, I mean, look, I grew up in Chicago, and I watched the Bears play, and then when Brian Cox, the way he handled situations, I've watched, you know, other players, you know, react, because it just kind of got fed up with it, and they reacted to it. I didn't react that way, and so my mindset is a little bit different. I mean, I'm sure some of the players, if they handled it the way I did, maybe they kind of talked to him secretly and let him know if he didn't know what it would kind of stir up. And so I just think, to be honest with you, I don't think it's that much of a big story like everybody is making it out to be, because at the end of the day, they won the football game and didn't win it in great fashion. And so it kind of took over what the conversation would be, you know, throughout the week. And it's unfortunate that this is the conversation. But as far as, you know, for Nick Sirianni and probably Jeffrey Lurie, the conversation will be had and they'll get back to business as usual.
Yeah, it's the messaging coming out of the locker room, at least from some of the leaders on the team, they seem to sort of identify with some of his frustration and they want to rally around him, right? Like they want to support him and sort of have his and have his back. So I think it's something, right? I know for us as a teammate of yours, we know you took a lot of sling and arrows for us as the face of the franchise. And I can only speak about when I played here, I know it made us want to at least, you know, we got our teammates back. We got our guys back. We got Donovan's back. You know, regardless of what people are saying out there, we're going to go out there and play and try to win, because I know this will turn that narrative around. You think that's something that the team can sort of use as a rallying cry with Nick?
I believe that. And the funny thing is how what leading into this, remember the conversation was always about the relationship of Jalen and Nick.
Yeah.
And listen, I mean, not every player, star player, quarterback, head coach has that smooth relationship. You know, we all go through some ups and downs. I mean, look at Bill Belichick and Tom Brady didn't have the greatest of relationships. But it's just, you know, it's Philadelphia. It's a topic of conversation, and this just adds to it. And to be honest with you, too, you're correct. I think they use this as a little rallying cry to support Nick. But again, it goes back to what type of leaders do they have in that locker room? Because, you know, the Jason Kelce's, you know, he's gone. And you know, Lane is getting up there in age. And Fletcher Cox is gone.
Yeah.
The older guys, the old elder statesmen, are starting to kind of weed out a little bit. But the younger leaders now have to step up, and do they support Nick, or is this one in which they kind of just gonna back away from it and kind of just let him just take the bullet?
I tell you, it was great to see. Well, now I guess everybody can judge it on their own as to how authentic they may think Jalen was when speaking about Nick Sirianni, but it was still, I thought, a positive sign to see Jalen speak sort of glowingly and in support of Nick Sirianni, his personality, and sort of getting back to being himself. I think because if you got the quarterback and the head coach on the same page, I think sort of everybody else sort of falls in line too.
Well, I mean, again, it's so funny how we tried to break down everything that Jalen says. Mm-hmm. And when we went on the Super Bowl run, everybody was loving the cliches and loving the kind of terms that he was using. All of a sudden things go kind of sour a little bit, and all of a sudden we're nitpicking what he's saying, and then we're looking at the relationship. Look, I know from personally talking to Jalen that he supports Nick. Now, obviously, are they on different pages maybe at times? Yeah, but that's kind of what happens in professional rank. So I just think for the Philadelphia Eagles in this situation, the best thing that they can do as a team is to support Nick. Even if half of them don't support Nick, but to support Nick and be able to come together better as a football team. Because in regards of this situation, luckily it's taking the heat off of the kind of deficiencies of this football team. And maybe this will help them come closer together and individually be able to elevate their game to be able to get back on track of where they need to be.
Donovan McNabb with us, as he is every Monday at 4. Okay, how about a football question? I was thinking about that. We're going to ask you about actual football. So the we got 4 hours, you know. The offense, there's something about this Eagles offense, even with everybody back now, that does not seem to be functioning at the high level that we expected, given the talent on offense. Watching the team, where do you think that starts? Why are they not able to sort of get in a rhythm and actually have the sort of dominant performances that we expected prior to the season?
Really, we have no identity. Like, that, I mean, this is something that's been going on since the beginning of it. And listen, I always thought Kellen Moore was a great offensive mind. I always felt like, you know, he stat-wise, his quarterback to put up great numbers. I think in certain situations you may scratch your head a little bit, but not more than likely. I think he's kind of a guy that understands the game and positioning of it. But to be honest with this football team, like on paper, we're well-groomed. We're well-groomed to have one of the best offenses in the league, and we should. But we have to either run the offense through Saquon Barkley in our offensive line, and then the play action game kind of feeds off of that, or we're just going to become a drop back passing team, and we're not the drop back passing team that we should or could be. But I think we have to start with being able to run the football and set up the play action. Look, it was a point in the game, to be honest with you, where I was like, man, where is Dallas? Like, I mean, how many times do I bring it up? But, you know, yeah. We got to, no matter what tight end is in there, we got to make sure that that's kind of a point of emphasis to be able to establish the middle of the football field. And then we can use Saquon in the passing game, too, as well. So I just think for this football team, we got to figure out who we are and be able to do that each and every week.
Look at Jalen's play coming out of the bye week. Kind of give us a quick, analysis of what you thought he did well yesterday.
Well, the pass to Devontae and a couple passes that he made were great. I just think we just have to continue to work our consistency, and he'll probably tell you the same with this in the passing game as well as the run game with our run check. Offensively, I think we could take a little bit of pressure off of Jalen, but off the bye week, however you can do it, however you can do it, you got to win. You got to find a way to win. I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't spectacular, but we found a way to win. The most important games, I think, for us at this position is this next one and the following. Will it be one we'll continue to climb, or will we be a stalemate in these next 2 weeks?
Yeah, this is not an Eagles question, but it's about the team they played yesterday. When Deshaun Watson looks completely lost, when you see him, is there anything salvageable with Deshaun Watson, or is that a player that looks like he may never regain what he had?
From a football player standpoint, is it salvageable? I think we all, as an individual, think that we can rekindle, the old flame that we had or who we were. But I just don't see it happening, that him being back to the quarterback that he was in Texas. But there also is a lot of distractions that he's battling, and people don't understand that part of it. And from a football standpoint, he's battling injury, coming off an injury. He's trying to be the old self that he is, which I think at some point you got to look in the mirror and be, realistic with yourself. And then, from this football team, I just think they're trying to, put pieces together and figure themselves out again. I mean, I know Stefanski's a smart guy, and he's trying to do what's right. But, at some point, I just think, they'll probably go to Jameis Winston. But they should, to be honest with you, I didn't think Deshaun played bad in the game against Philadelphia. So it was a change from what he's been doing over the last couple of weeks.
It's true.
So we'll see how kind of things move on from there.
Well, Donovan, you must get a warm feeling in your heart when you hear that Philadelphia is exactly the same as when you left. just know that.
Well, I don't know what that really means.
Well,
I don't know what that means.
We're always mad all the time.
It sounds good to the virgin ear, but what does that really mean?
Well, it means we go to bed angry, we wake up angry.
I think if we played here five, we know what that means. Like, I think we're all on the same page. Like, we know what that means. Yeah.
All right, man.
I mean, it might be a little bit different than we played there.
Like, all right, Donovan. Thank you, man.
All right, big dog.
All right, guys. You guys take it easy.
All right, thanks, Donovan. I do
We're
wonder.
We're never going to change, man. Come on, man. We are who we are.
I don't want to change at all. Yeah. It's part of the joy of doing sports radio in Philly is how it is here.
Well, some people say we got a little soft after we won the Super Bowl.
Well.
And those standing ovations.
Yes. Which you had nothing to do with, right?
Zero.
Yep. Not soft here anymore. Get us some disappointment. Phillies disappoint us. Eagles disappoint us. Yeah. Don't worry. The Sixers will disappoint us, too. We'll be back.
No, man. That's our next.
They got it.
Come on, man. They got it.
Come on, Spike. Come on. Get on board.
We'll see.
They're a lock.
A lock for what?
Championship.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Omar in West Philly. Omar, you're on WIP.
Ike, Spike, and Fritz. How's it going, fellas?
What's up, brother? Omar?
Yeah, hey, look here. The reason why the fans booed on that first series was because Barkley got the ball on the first down, got a nice chunk of yardage, and then we threw the ball two times after that. It wasn't because of any personality thing, anything like that. It's because it was a dumb situation. An analogy.
And that's on Kellen Moore, by the way. That's on Kellen Moore.
Can I give you an analogy?
Yes.
It's like being a boxer. You hit somebody with a left hook and you're staggering. And then for the rest of the fight, you just throw jabs. Wouldn't you throw that hook again?
I would, for sure.
Well, but Omar, isn't your opponent going to be waiting for the hook? What an offensive coordinator, I think, would... Well, maybe.
That's right.
What an offensive coordinator, I think, would tell you is after you hit them with one thing, they're going to prepare for that thing, so then you have to be able to hit them with something else. So,
well, look here. I say you do what works until it stops working. And then...
By the way, that was part of their scripted 15 plays. Part of their scripted plays.
Love their first 15,
They need to go away from the scripted plays and go with what's working. And the press conference, I have never heard more softball questions in my entire life. Nobody asked. The question they should have asked him was, you're going against one of the worst run-stopping teams in the league. Why aren't you pounding the ball? That's the question somebody should have asked Sirianni.
Well, but I think
Saquon was getting. Yeah, he had, what did he get? 2 yards or 2.5 yards per carry?
I think he had 18 carries for 40 some yards. Yeah. It's not the run wasn't working yesterday.
Well, they should have given him the ball more. He should have gotten at least 20 carries.
Bro, why are we trying to run the ball when you have AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, and a $250 million quarterback? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Let me tell you another thing. The touchdown with Smith. The Slim Reaper's touchdown was a crossing pattern across the middle. Boom. Yeah. They hit him with that, and he ran. But a lot of these times, they're dropping back and trying to throw that bomb, and Hurts is underthrowing most of the time. They have to keep making adjustments to make the spectacular catches that Brown and Smith are making.
Well, they're not going to be – that Smith catch – eventually, the rest. That's the third time they've run that this year. When they run that mesh thing, where they that's what it is.
Yeah, it's a little pick play.
Okay, but it's not gonna. You can't do that every time, and that seems to be the only time that they've been particularly successful with the slant stuff is when they run that. So,
he did hit the tight end and go over the middle a couple times yesterday.
He did. He hit Calcaterra.
Calcaterra played well.
One was
yesterday.
Like a seam, I think, seam route, and then I don't. But yeah, I don't – thank you for the call, Omar. They tried Saquon yesterday, and that was the first bad game that Saquon's
played. Yeah, they gave Saquon the ball. By the way, no, we can't criticize Saquon, but
– we're running out of bounds.
Well, yeah, it's just about to go through the sequence.
Yeah, okay.
I thought we were getting positive like today. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that with this part of it, it's not the positive part of
Saint
it.
Wow, Saquon. That's
Saint
a new
Saquon.
One.
Well, I mean, listen, hey, we do act like he's un – like, we can't criticize the guy.
No, that was not a good game.
He's had a couple plays here, and quite frankly, that sequence of plays that led to the blocked field goal, he was a part of two of them that were major. He went out of bounds when, in this town, you don't go out of bounds until you get the first down.
And we had three timeouts.
We had three timeouts, so there's no reason to be in a rush to stop the clock there. Get the first down is the number one thing you should have done there versus preserving time or your body. That's number one. Number two, I don't know what the hell we were thinking about during that timeout that we wasted after he ran out of bounds. They were in shotgun on third and one, right? No, it was second and one this time when he ran out of bounds. They were in shotgun. They call a timeout. We come out, and we still don't have a good play. They go zero blitz, and Saquon whiffs on the block. I don't know what would have happened on that play because, quite frankly, if I'm Jalen and I look to my left and I see A.J. Brown one-on-one in coverage with somebody one-on-one, I'm throwing the ball to A.J. Brown. Didn't look like Jalen was ready to go to A.J. Brown at the snap of the ball. Still, unexcusable, terrible blocking by Saquon on that play that made it a longer field goal, which led to the field goal block, which led to the touchdown, the only touchdown the Browns scored yesterday. So a couple things there. How about run the ball on second and one or third and one when you have all your timeouts? Why are we lined up predictably in a shotgun formation? Like, why are we lining up in a shotgun formation on second and one? And then on third and one? Like, I just don't get it where you have three timeouts, 32 seconds left to go, plenty of time to manage. You got the whole playbook at your disposal. Why are we acting as if we don't have any timeouts and we have to throw the ball here?
It actually
run the ball and pick up the first down and call a timeout, and that gives you three more plays to work with.
It actually seems like the only time that we are consistently not in shotgun is when they're running the
tush push.
That's the only time.
Which brings me, ran the tush push a little bit too much in the first half.
A lot of tush push.
And
the middle of the field.
I didn't realize it at the game because I couldn't see it. But rewatching the game today, don't know if we picked up that first down on 4th and 1.
Well, I'm surprised they didn't stop the play.
Yeah, don't know if we picked that up. If we did, we barely picked it up.
Yeah.
I mean, they ran that tush push 4 times, 5 times in the first half.
And what it's doing is it contributes to that lack of rhythm that we're talking about offensively. Because what you're doing is you're taking a down and you're just – essentially, you're not moving the ball at all. You're just getting yourself more downs.
Yep.
And they do it so much. It's become such a crutch.
Definitely a crutch.
That they're doing it in their own half of the field or the center part or the middle part of the field where you're not at a point where you're just running clock, where you need to score points, you know?
Yeah.
And I would love – when the coordinators talk tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Is that when the coordinators talk? Someone's got to ask Kellen Moore why they're not under center more. Because they need to be under – if they're going to be running team – well, I just want them to answer it.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. I'm just saying we do have an insider who's there.
Oh, yes.
Which one?
Put that on your list. But the only one that matters. Elliot Shore Parks.
He's
the one who's there. He's there, man. He gets the first question.
Don't ask him those questions.
It's short circuit.
Ask him something else.
It is pretty. I'm just letting everyone know. I know you're on. A lot of people are on Eagles Insider of the Year watch. I'm on Worm Watch.
Yep.
And he's let off 2 straight press conferences.
So you think they're giving him the question because of the worm?
Always ask the right question.
See, this is where I got defendy. Damned if he does, damned if he does, damned if he does.
Correct.
He's like the head coach.
Correct. Yep. He's not going to get any credit. All right. No more guests for the rest of the show. The rest of the show is yours. 215-592-9494. Next segment, I do want to ask, I want to talk about the offense and who specifically is to blame for the lack of success on that side. Is it a Sirianni issue? Is it a Kellen Moore issue? Is it a Jalen Hurts issue? We will talk about that next. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly pregame, in-game, or postgame. Chickies and Pete's is your destination for the Eagles all season long. Online at chickiesandpetes.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.